begins to push, we push harder. If Satan continually pushes, we're going to pray harder. And if he really wants to get ignorant, we're going to praise harder. Because he is a defeated foe. And you're going to, amen. Just give God a hand clap of praise. There's a lot of stuff going on in the life of this church. We sent an email out this year or yesterday to get everybody here to be a part of this service. Because candidly, as pastor, I'm tired of the nonsense. This whole last couple of weeks, Pastor Dustin and myself have been hospital after hospital after hospital after hospital. And, you know, I know Satan thinks he's winning, but he's lost. And we're going to show that today. So today is a day, just give it to the Lord. I know a lot of y'all been carrying a lot of stuff for a long time. But today, we're going to just put it all at the altar. And you're going to find out the battle doesn't belong to us. Candidly, the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Amen. So let's start today with a hand clap of praise to God. Here's my words. No. Okay. Y'all be seated because we're doing something totally different today. Amen. You know, if you don't know what you believe, then you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. And I believe that we all have to believe and we all need. And if there's ever a time again in the life of this church, we truly need our Lord today so very, very, very much. See, I, as the title says, you could just be one step away. And we've been talking about praise and worship. We've talked about, candidly, sometimes praise and worship makes you very uncomfortable. Sometimes raising a hand or sometimes laying on the floor or sometimes even shouting out loud. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable if you come from maybe a different faith that's very, very downplayed. I grew up in a Lutheran church and went to the Catholic church, and it was very reverent. You didn't get very loud in the church at all. We have 23 nationalities in this church. We have every faith from Catholic to Pentecostal in this church. But, you know, I got to tell you, there's one faith, one way, and one God. And you can color it whatever color that you want, but we're going to worship God today, whose Son is Jesus Christ, who gave you and I the power of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to raise hell on Satan today because he is down today. He is down. Amen. In Exodus, let me kind of set the stage, and we're going to run through this relatively quick because we got something to do at the very end of this. But as Pharaoh drew near, Scripture says, the sons of Israel looked and it said, behold, the Egyptians. Moses had gone to Pharaoh on numerous occasions and said, hey, you know, let God's people go. And, you know, finally Pharaoh got to the place that he acquiesced and he says, okay, we will let you go. And then somewhere along the way he had this epiphany and he goes, oh my gosh, if I let them go, who's going to do all the work? So now Pharaoh is chasing the Israelites. And it says the Egyptians were marching after them. They became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. We have a lot going on in our church. There's a lot of sickness in our church. There's a lot of severe sickness in our church. There's a lot of people being assaulted by the evil one. And I'm here today to tell you this, that fear is a reality. You know, you can't go, well, that happened because you had no faith. That's not true. Fear is a reality, and sometimes fear replaces our faith, but we've all been given a measure of faith. So if by some chance you're going through the challenges right now, and you go, oh my gosh, I'm fearful, just take a chill pill. It is okay, okay? Because fear is a reality. We are human beings. Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's all okay. But what we want to do through services like this is to help you exchange fear and put faith back where it needs to be. Amen? So here's one of the challenges for all of us. Nancy asked me a little while ago, and a couple of y'all said, Pastor, you look tired. I said, no, it's not a look, okay? It's a real deal. But it says, so they came about when Moses held his hands up. Moses is at a war. He's fighting a war. Till you guys have put on the shoes of a pastor, you'll never know what it means to be a pastor. You'll never understand what Pastor D's going through. You'll never understand what Pastor Dolores is going through. You're not going to understand what I'm going through. You'll never understand what Pastor Hogg went through. You'll never understand till you put the shoes on. And I got to tell you that sometimes you get tired. But Jackie Reed is sitting next to her husband for the last week. She's tired. And what I want us to understand is that so it came when Moses held his hands up that the Israelites prevailed. And when he let his hands down, the Amalek prevailed. There are sometimes, guys, we get tired. Tired as pastors, but we get tired as individuals. And that's when this church needs to step in place. And that's when we need to be Aaron and Hur. And then we need to lift up the arms of those that are challenged to go, we're here with you. And I know that you're tired, but I got one side, she got the other side, and we're going to lift your hands up, because as long as our hands are up, we're praising God, and it's going to be okay. In Exodus, it says, but Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. And sometimes it's going to take us as just a brother and sister in Christ to put a chair under those that are hurting. And then it said, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands. One on one side and one on the other. In Exodus, it said that they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt, that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? But Moses said to his people, now pay attention to what he said. Do not fear. Well, I got to tell you, when you're in the midst of the fire, sometimes that's an easy statement for someone to make, a difficult statement for us to live through. But it says, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. And the Lord will fight for you while what? While you keep silent. Proverbs says that there is death and that there is life in the power of the tongue. And it says, and those who love it, if you want to speak death in your situation, you are going to continually eat its fruit. If you want to speak life into your situation, you will continually eat of its fruit. In Exodus 14:5, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Now, here's what I want you guys to understand. It says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, Scripture says, will injure you. In Matthew, it says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then Mark says, if nothing else works for anybody, Mark says, these are the signs that will accompany. Now think about the word accompany. It doesn't mean that you got to go pack your bag. It means if you're a born-again believer and you believe, as you walk, and do what God tells you to do, these are the signs that will come with you. These are the signs that will accompany you. and it says that you could cast out demons. Now, I know a lot of people, if you come from a Protestant church, that's a little uncomfortable. I didn't write the book, but I'm going to preach the book. And the Bible says that if you are a believer, the signs that will follow is that you can cast out demons, you can speak with new tongues, you can pick up serpents, you can drink any deadly poison, you can lay your hands on the sick, and it says, and they shall recover. Not says they might, but it says they shall recover. And then John says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus is saying this, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, there's something important in that passage, and we're going to look at it in just a minute. First of all, I want you to understand that there is not a person in this sanctuary that is not being chased down by the enemy. There is not one person in this building that is not challenged with something. It could be finances, it could be children, it could be spouse, it could be sickness, it could be employment. It makes no difference. Everybody here is being threatened by Satan in some task, who says that his task is to kill and steal and destroy. That's what he says. Number two, the battle is important. But when the battle is long, we can get as religious as we want. But when the battle is long, the body grows weak. And that's the time more than ever that we need our brothers and sisters in Christ that will hold our arms up to go, I got you, it's going to be okay. I got you, I'm here, it's going to be okay. No, it's okay, I'm here. And a lot of people today don't want to tell people, well, we don't know what you're going through if you don't tell us. And the Bible says, every name shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. If you give us a name, it's got to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody wants to keep all of it secret to go, oh, I don't want them to know my business. Well, see, I don't care if you know my business. I'm three pickles short of a quart already, so it don't make no difference. I want you to know who I am, and I want you to know the challenges that I go through. We are far from a perfect family, and we've had our share of challenges. But it says specifically, when the battle is long, the body grows weak. Number two, be careful, church, about the words you speak. When Satan comes against you, two things are going to happen. Either you're going to run to God, you're going to run from God. And I got to tell you this, too. When the doctors come in and paint the picture, you listen to them. And I loved Jackie the other day when I called Jackie and I said, how's it going? She said, you know, this nurse came out, she painted such a bleak picture. She said, I just pulled that bed sheet over my head and said, I don't want to listen to you. And sometimes you and I got to pull the sheet over our head and go, I don't want to listen to your nonsense. That might be what the doctor said, but that's not what my God said. Okay? Fourth, you have to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. This is not our battle. God's got a purpose, God's got a plan, and most of the times he don't tell us. Well, I don't like that portion of it, but I also read the rest of the book and he ain't asked. Okay? Sometimes it's just where it is. And I told Dwight, because he's going through a bunch of stuff, but I told him, Dwight, I said, I shared to the church the other day, sometimes the shortest route is not the safest route. And I don't know how come all this stuff is going on with him, but the route is long, and maybe it's exactly where God wanted him to be. Fifth, God has told you and me that we have authority in our hands over the evil of this world. Now, he didn't give you authority so that you could box it up and put it in your closet. He gave you and I authority because the world needs it. He gave us authority because this church right now needs it. And we sent that email out last night that if you are a member of this church, please be here. And it is important for everybody to be here. And we've got so many faithful people that come. So if I say this over and over, it's not about those that come. I'm trying to wake up those that don't come. Because it is imperative that they be a part of the church, because the Bible says do not forsake the fellowship. And there's a reason why, because they've been given a gift. And they have to exercise that gift. So your presence in this church is important. Also, it says that our task is that you and I can bind and loose. The Bible says what we bind on earth. If we go to the hospital and go, we bind the sickness today. We bind it by the authority that God gave you and me. We bind it today, then by faith we believe that it has been bound in heaven and it's done. The Bible also says what you loose on earth. And we want to lose health and prosperity and peace in everybody's life. But if you do that by faith, you got to believe that it's being loosed in heaven. I just don't think we know who we are and what we have. We are supernatural individuals. And a lot of you guys have been through hell and back in this church. And I'm telling you, the only reason any of us are here today is because God answers prayers. Amen? Seventh is that God will give us the signs. Those who believe, these are the signs that will accompany those. We're hard-headed people. And God says, here's the signs. If you believe, this is what you can do, and these are the results that you could have. Eight is that Jesus said it. Not only will you be able to do what I do, but even greater things than I do, you will be able to do. And here is the ninth, and I believe the most important thing of all. When Moses had cried out to the Lord, and he said, what are you crying out to me for? God came down in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus spent 33 years on this earth. Last 3 years after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, his ministry began. You know the rest of the story. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was dead. He was placed in the tomb. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And now he sits on the right hand of God the Father, and the Bible says that he has left with us the Holy Spirit. Well, that's great. But if the church doesn't go, if the church can't get off, they're complacent, and I'm not talking just this church, I'm talking across the world. If the church can't get off their complacent, lazy bottoms, then you get what you get. But I'm here to tell you today that this church is off their bottoms in just a couple minutes. Because we're going to praise today. We're going to pray today. We're going to do everything God told us to do today because this church is on the move. Okay? I want to read to you this list. And I know that I think I'm missing one more. We put Roy up there. Currently, Larry Reed, been a member of this church for about 18 years, is on life support. Larry went through second stage lung cancer. He took chemo. His white cell count went down to nothing. He ended up getting sick. He has sepsis. He was almost non-responsive. Jackie sends it back today. His heart was at 10%. Today it's at 35%. He turned his head and he's responding to the drugs. Dwight Raven has fought the attack from Satan for 10 years. And sometimes, as I said, the shortest route is not the best route. He's been sitting up at Methodist Hospital, went through first procedure, they couldn't do it. And they said they couldn't do it because the tumor had grown around the stent. So they were going to do another. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. He finally asked him, he said, well, did you check my records? And they said, no, we hadn't looked at your records yet. And I got to tell you, if you know Dwight, he never gets bad. He was hot. And he finally told the doctor, he said, leave it alone. He says, just check me out. So what they're going to do is he stays in till tomorrow morning. They're going to flood him with the antibiotics, and then they're going to ship him back to Oklahoma at the Cancer Center Treatments of America. And maybe the longest route is what God wanted him to have, because that's a route that's going to help him. Sandra White. Y'all have known Sandra. She comes in a wheelchair. She, honestly, the doctor says she should have been dead 10 years ago. Well, I remember the day that we laid hands and prayed on her, and every time the doctor goes, I don't know why you're here, her response is, because I ain't ready to die yet, that's why. But bottom line, she ended up getting gangrene in a leg that she cut, and they're going to amputate the leg. Okay. Amen. Pete Gallegos was in the hospital. He had some heart issues. They found out he's got three arteries that were clogged. They got one fixed up. He's going to go back next week. Kent Tremaine has had his issues with kidney stones, and you know, he's been in the hospital. Leon Fuentes has dealt with diabetes. You got Paul Cantu, had a stroke. Mike Johnson got assaulted by Satan. Keith Rhodes has been assaulted. Linda Goodson, Sheila Greenwald, Colleen Handy is home today because she doesn't feel good. Rosalinda Brewer, Diane Sabather, Cindy Roberson, Charlie Pinson, Roy Solis, Corey Cardenas, Gary LaFay. We did find out today they were going to do gallbladder surgery on him. They went in and said, it's so small, we're going to leave it there. That's a praise report. Raymond Howard's got heart issues. Trish fell down, and they thought she broke her elbow. It wasn't. But, church, that list can go on and on and on. And I'm telling you today, that is enough of all this kind of nonsense. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn it to Exodus 15. It's not on the board because it was too much to put up there. But it's Exodus 15, and I want to read this. Dolores, you can get your people up there. But it begins in verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength. He is my defense. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I'm going to praise him. And my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. And the best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depth like stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. Oh, by the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. The surging water stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. Oh, the enemy boasted, I will pursue and I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gouge or gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like your majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. And in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people. And church, what I'm here today is to say this, that Moses, after they went through much adversity, they had a song to sing. And there's not a person here that hasn't been through adversity. And you too have a song to sing. My question today is this. You have a song to sing, but are you willing to sing the song? Are you willing, truly, church, or are you willing to raise your hands and praise God? Can you get rid of the pride enough in your life to ask for help? And you might say today, I don't need no help. Then for God's sakes, go and help someone else. There is power, church. There is power. And I said it last Sunday. When you and I put our hands together in prayer and we humble ourselves before the Lord, there is power in our hands. When you and I can get past the pride and raise our hands,
hallelujah,
there's power in praise.
Yes.
And when myself and Pastor Dustin and Pastor Arnold went up to Larry Reed and lay our hands upon him, when I laid my hands upon Pete, there is power, because God says, lay your hands on those that are sick and they shall recover. Well, church, the last piece of this is, God said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell your people to go. I'm the servant of God. I have nothing to offer here except the words that he gives me. But I got to tell you, it's frustrating. As a pastor, and this might be one of those space-saving messages where people go, well, I'm not going to come back. But it's frustrating to me that we can't have the membership of this church, which is 209 family members, take this serious. Because it really does come down to a matter of life and death. Ask Jackie as she's holding Larry's hand. Ask Marie as she held Pete's hands. Ask Molly today when she goes up and she holds the hands of Sandra White. And the list goes on. This is not a game. And this is not a spectator sport. This is a participatory place where we come and we praise God and we worship God. And then when life goes to hell in a handbasket, we praise God, because the battle belongs to God and we don't have to stay a victim. We can be victors in Christ if we take it serious. I cry at the drop of a hat. But when you see somebody that you love, like Larry, Pete, Sandra,
and the hurting. Keith, it hurts me too. And I just want us to take it serious. We're waiting on God. God says, I'm waiting on y'all. So, church, it begins with the first step. And I want to take that step today. So stand to your feet, if you will. And everything that we do today is about Him.
Yes.
If you're uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But it's not about us. It's about Him. And it boils down to, what do we believe? This is a supernatural problem. And it's got to be handled a supernatural way. And what I want you to understand, it was no ordinary feat when God released the children of Israel. And when He released them, they left with everything that those that had held them in captivity for years, it was now theirs. It was no ordinary feat for them to cross the Red Sea. It was no ordinary feat for them to wander for 40 years with the same pair of shoes on. And I'm here to tell you, it will be no ordinary feat that will take Larry from being on life support to back on this stage singing, as we know that he will be. It is no ordinary feat that will take Dwight from where he currently is to being made whole. Everybody here, it is not going to be an ordinary feat that will get us from the adversity to where God truly wants us to be, and that's healthy and whole. So if you come from a different denomination, embrace it today, because the tears are falling. He's the potter, and we're the clay. And sometimes it takes God to put us down pretty hard, to break us so He can mold us where He wants us to be. It's not easy, and it's sometimes very painful. But He has never left us, and He will never forsake us. So again, as difficult or maybe uncomfortable as some of this is, I'm telling you today, church, embrace it with every being that you have, because it's not an ordinary worship, because it's a supernatural battle, and we're going to fight it through prayer and praise and worship in a supernatural way. Pastor D.
If our God is for us, who can be against us?